Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer with you on Oilers Now. Brendan Escott back at the 630 Chet Studios. It's 12:33 at Edmonton. A quick text on the Ashley Fine Floors text line from Cold Laker, now in the job. Bob, the next time the Ken Holland haters rear that ugly head, remind them of this. In the combined bottom six of the two teams last night, there are a dozen players. Many of them were high in variety, and I bet half would never play in Canada. Oh, and at least one goalie. That sucks when trying to fill out a championship team. Well, you're going to have to be creative. I do think it's tougher to win in Canada, and I do think there's some advantages in other markets, but I also think there's things that can be learned and gleaned from organizations like Tampa Bay and Colorado. And I'll also say this. I know some people specifically in the Colorado organization that basically feel Edmonton's about a year behind them. So on that note, let's head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline and welcome back our NHL insider John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling you need, get it with no payments, no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy heating and cooling. Do you agree or disagree with that sentiment? Are the Lightning and Colorado doing some things that others can learn from? What do you think, John?
Well, if you're saying that you need to be at the low end of the poll at the 30th or 31st for a couple of years, in order to get good high draft picks and be in the lottery for two or three years, then yeah. You know, one of the things that in many ways, Bob, that is never talked about in Denver is the deep pockets of Stan Kroenke. And the patience that he showed, because Joe Sakic had patience. Now, this was a team that was not selling out. You remember going there in those days. They weren't a full house in that place. They weren't making money. They were living on the laurels for so many years of the team that Sakic and Forsberg and Patrick Waugh played on. And then that Patrick Waugh and Sakic brought back to relative success for a brief period of time. I'm not as sold that the Colorado Avalanche and Tampa, for that right, have reinvented the way teams work. You know, what they did was they have the subjective nature of guys like Al Murray in Tampa, Chris McFarland, and Craig Billington in Colorado that are good, smart hockey people. It's not science. It's good, heart, smart hockey people that make the difference.
All right. So so we're going to give everybody an opportunity for a little edumacation. Okay, we're going to have a little fun here. I'm going to read you a stat and see how long it takes people to figure out who I'm talking about. 16 goals, 37 assists, 53 points in 82 games, minus 14. Those were the numbers of Nate MacKinnon 4 years into the NHL in the 16-17 season. Mm-hmm. They had a terrible year. They went 22-56-4 that year.
Yeah, that would correct me if I'm wrong. That was the year that Patrick got mad that he didn't have any say on player acquisitions and walked out the front door.
And bailed, and so Chris brought in Jared Benner, who he had with him in Columbus's organization, brought him in and said, "This is our coach. We can grow this." Now, I will, and again, you know the story. We saw him in March that year, and he said, "Stoff, we're going all speed. We're going all in on speed and skill. That's what we're going to do." Now, that horrible year resulted in them getting Cale Makar fourth overall.
Right. Well, that's my point. That's my point, Bob. Is that you can talk about how to build a team, and I don't have to tell people in Edmonton how patient you have to be.
Right.
When you look at after 06, what went through and what happened for how many years. And you have the first overall pick twice in that period of time before you win the lottery and get a third first overall pick. You know, the subjective nature of this sport still, forget about analytics, I'm not saying that in a disparaging way. The subjective nature of this sport still counts. But you also need deep pockets in order to do it. Stan Kroenke was never afraid to spend money and lose money on this journey.
Well, Greg Sherman was their general manager, a former baseball player at one time. He preceded Joe Sakic in that role. I remember him coming, because at that time, Johnny Martineau made Greg available all the time for our show. So he was, every time we played Colorado, we had Greg on. And one of the beauties, John, I mean, you know a lot of the executives around the league for the various different work. One thing that helped me personally was getting the opportunity to travel with the Oilers for the last 14 years and going into these different markets.
Sure.
And meeting a guy face-to-face. And as you know, I'm not a shrinking violet. And so I had lots of conversations with Greg.
You
I
remember mean it's not shy, Bob Stauffer?
Not when it comes to NHL executives, no.
Okay. All right.
So anyhow, I remember he... You know, we were in the throes of real tough times in Edmonton. It was the back half of the 11-12 season.
Oh, I remember.
And I remember he's like, your building's full. You guys are in a full-blown rebuild. And I'm like, yeah, because we got amazing fans. And
that's
we're
great.
Damn lucky. And even, you know, we have Brian Lott and John on this show. Every Wednesday, he's the one that drafted Stamkos and Edmund. That's how far. And I guess where Tampa Bay has moved the needle a bit for me is their assessment on the valuation of late first-round picks versus buying 2 years of a cheap player.
What was it, Vasilevskiy, 17th or 18th?
Yeah, and teams missed on him.
Yeah, sure. There are lots of teams that missed on Andrei Vasilevskiy. I still remember... in the 2015 Stanley Cup Final.
I think he was 19th, to be honest. Maybe I'll check here.
Okay. Anyway, I still remember the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, sorry, John. Go ahead.
Remember him in the Stanley Cup Final when Ben Bishop went down. And this guy that had legs like Bambi and was up and down and was Andrei Vasilevskiy. And by the end of that series, the series they lost to Chicago, people were saying, well, Bishop won't be there very long, and Vasilevsky's the future. You know, that was the whole plan all the time. And that takes, the brilliance of an Al Murray, who doesn't get enough credit in Tampa for what they've done. And he's a holdover from Yzerman's time to Julien Brisebois' time.
Right.
So those continuity is important. Patience is important. But both organizations, dare I remind you that Barry Melrose was coaching there for 21 games?
Sure.
You know, in Stamkos' rookie year? You know, these teams finally, righted the ship. And it was, coincidentally, it was two great former players in Yzerman and Sakic that did it. In trying to make these teams championship teams. And that's exactly what they've done.
Kucherov in the second round, Platt in the seventh, and Point, who was hurt, it needs to be stated. Colorado played two teams where significant players, Point a third-round pick in 2014, and the Oilers obviously nursed their best of... But Colorado was deeper and better. It's the bottom line.
And that's part of the journey. You know, that's part of what makes the Stanley Cup, the 60-day journeys, so awesome, is that it's not just, well, we're going to play our best against your best and we'll see who wins. No, this is the ultimate team sport. This is what makes it so great. And it is guys that contribute differently at different times in so many ways. Last year, one of the storylines of Tampa's second cup was Ross Colton, right? Ross didn't have near the series this year that he did last. But let's face it. The last three games, Tampa was on fumes. You could see Tampa being on fumes. When we hear and see the list of players, probably on both teams now, that played injured, and how many guys played close to 50% as opposed to 80 or 100, I think we'll all be amazed, because it was entertaining, and both teams deserve a lot of credit for keeping us glued to the television for 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, it's going to be intriguing here. The Oilers in meetings right now. It's an interesting time. Evander Kane has been spotted in town here over the course of the last 24 hours. I think a lot of Oilers fans would be absolutely stoked to see him potentially stay. What are you hearing on that front?
Not much, other than I think that, you know, there is a desire on both sides to try to make it work. I think that Kane enjoyed his time in Edmonton. Wasn't a really bad thing to play beside 97 most of the time. But to me, the issue, to me, more than money, is it going to be the term? Are you prepared to take a risk of more than 2 years on a guy like Evander Kane? And let's face it, Evander Kane has the right, I'm not saying earned the right, but has the right to go to free agency on the 13th. He does. And there's only one team right now that can talk to him. And, you know, if the Oilers can make it work, that Kane is satisfied, but I expect the deal to be shorter than longer.
All right, some quick hitters here. Today is the day for the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Today at 1 o'clock Mountain Time we will get the announcement of who is being inducted to the Hall in November. Yes.
Big day for Vancouver Canucks fans.
Yeah, I think so. Daniel and Henrik Sedin are obviously nominated. And I say obviously because I've heard it from multiple people they are. We really don't know who is nominated, but this is the first year they're eligible, and somebody would have been smart enough to nominate them. The challenge becomes there are still two inductees, and you're only allowed four players. So who does that take away from if you're putting both Daniel and Henrik in? Because I don't think anybody in their right mind would consider splitting them and putting Henrik in this year and Daniel in next year. They are on the ballot individually, not as a duo. So that's part of it. Mike Vernon is probably on the ballot this year. Someone who did have a very good NHL career. Won a couple of Stanley Cups. Won a Conn Smythe. Where does he fit into that? Obviously, there's lots of talk out of Ottawa with Daniel Alfredson. The one guy I think that has deserved to be in the Hall of Fame that I think is nominated this year and should have been in ages ago, and I'm not sure why he wasn't, was Alexander Mogilny. I think Alex Mogilny was one of the greatest players that changed his game in order to become a champion. Very similar to what Yzerman did, very similar to what Joe Nieuwendyk did. And Alex Mogilny, I think, should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and I hope he gets his chance today.
Oh, he could certainly score. You know, John, it's interesting, because is Luongo not an option as well?
Roberto Luongo, that's right. Luongo is at the top of the list as well.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we could see three Canucks. And just as an aside...
If you put Mogilny in, too, that's four.
Yeah. I was thinking with those guys today, because to me the two Sedins are slam dunks, and I would assume Luongo's close. I was thinking about the Canucks window and to put Tampa Bay in perspective. Tampa Bay has played in six conference finals in the last 8 years, advanced to the Stanley Cup, four times and won twice. It's been unbelievable in the cap era. They have some advantages. I don't want to take away from, you know, there's a little bit of a tax advantage, but you nailed it. They've done a great job scouting. And I also think Brisebois has lapped the field in the last 3 years on procuring good players. So I think Tampa Bay has done some really good things.
When you look look at Barkley Goodrow and Blake Coleman.
Yeah.
And now Nick Paul and Brendan Hagel.
Yeah. You know? And that's what we brought up. We brought up those names before. So, John, where I'm going with this is we think of Vancouver. They had a pretty good team. But they only made it beyond the second round once the entire time with the Sedins. How about this? Just for you-know-whats and giggles. Do you know how many points Daniel Sedin had in his first 43 playoff games?
Tell me.
18.
Wow.
18. Like, we sit there and, like, there was a time in which Daniel and Henrik Sedin, were they not MVPs in back-to-back years or close to, like, they were amongst two of the five best players in the world.
Yeah, but this all goes back to how to win the marathon. Right?
Yeah.
How to win? What and what price to pay? I mean, that team that Mark Crawford coached with West Coast Express was the line, I think, Bob. When Todd Bertuzzi was there and Brennan Morrison and
Naslund.
Marcus Naslund, they were, in my opinion, the most entertaining team in hockey. They were a run and gun team before teams were really doing the run and gun. But they did not know how to play playoff hockey. You know, that I believe that was the 2002 team that lost to Detroit. Had they beaten Detroit, and remember it was a Nick Lidstrom 160-foot shot against Dan Cloutier that changed the whole perspective of the series. That's the type of thing you have to overcome. And the Canucks that year didn't know how, and then they went through a cycle. Until 2008, 2009, all the way to 2011, when it was either the Blackhawks or the Canucks that were fighting for position. So it's learning how to win. And this is where you look at the Oilers, Bob, and you say some of those young guys, the learning curve that they went through this year. You know, the seven games against the Kings, how to fight through that, how to fight through the battle of Alberta. And then, we stubbed our toe against Colorado. We better have learned, because look at where it took the Avalanche. And if we're smart, we can do that too at some point. But we have to be prepared to pay the price.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's going to be intriguing to watch here as to how and obviously, by the way, have you heard anything at all on, just while we got you on the blower here, John Shannon, anything at all on Mike Smith or Duncan Keith at this time?
No, not a word, but I have not talked to any of the powers that be since middle of last week. So.
Okay. Well, me neither.
Well, they're just, they're enjoying their scouting meetings. Let's put it that way.
I got a text from one of our regular texters from Penticton saying that he's at Skaha Lake watching beach volleyball now that the NHL season's over. He just wanted to pass that along to me. Is it called Skaha Lake? Is that the...
Yeah, there's two lakes in Penticton. On the north side's Okanagan Lake, and the south side is Skaha Lake. And
now, was Skaha the lake where this vehicle they found submerged from the 60s, and they found it submerged, and unfortunately...
No,
there was so there was this case of this missing woman from the 1960s.
Yeah, that was a lake farther south.
That's a crazy story. You ended up seeing that one, and
They
ended up finding her vehicle in the early 2010s, and this poor fellow, people thought maybe he'd murdered his wife, and that no, she drove right off the road and into the lake, and she was submerged so far down they couldn't find. Crazy, crazy story. John, love having you on the show, my man. Are you gonna? Hey, when we and we're gonna talk again, obviously. Are you gonna end up going? I know you've been out to Penticton before for the rookie tournament.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
We have to figure a few. I mean, it's September. Hockey season just ended, Bob. This is not a 12-month year for me anymore. And Bob, I'll still be here to help you. Every once in a while, I like to take a few days off.
You can have the last week of August and the first week of, or the last week of July and the first week of August off, okay? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Very kind of you.
I'm there for you, man. Thanks a lot, John.
Bye.
It's 12:52 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer with you. Brendan Escott back at the 6:30 Ched Studios. We are going to tell you the guests on the show receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night in the town, every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. I swung by there last night. It was my night to cook before the hockey game and picked up a little bit of takeout action. It was awesome. It's great seeing Chris down there. Used to work with Chris many years ago, over 30 plus years ago, at a Southside establishment that is no longer in, they're no longer running, but they were quite popular circa 19, I'm going to say January of 88 until about, they were around for 30 years, but.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For a while, popular place back on Gateway Boulevard. We're going to take a quick timeout. 12:52 at Edmonton. You're listening to Oilers Now. All right, welcome back, everybody. 12:55 at Edmonton. You can text us at 780-496-0063. The Sedins, are they Hall of Famers? You tell us. You can text us on the Ashley Fine Flores text line. I'm going to say yes, but I like the Sedins. I thought those guys were classy dudes. They oozed, you know, and it's hard not to like a lot of Swedish players. They're really good guys, and so easy to get along with. They speak English often better than we do, and but just the way they conducted themselves, there was not a lot of ego with them, and they're really good players. But it took them a while to become, you know, people forget that it didn't happen overnight. And the way Vancouver was structured, they had the West Coast Express. They were the most exciting team. And by the way, who's the most exciting team now? I mean, this show is called Oilers Now. I can tell you who the most exciting team in the playoffs was. It was Edmonton was the most exciting team in the playoffs. Part of it is the Oilers gave up too many goals against. Brendan, do you disagree, or do you think Edmonton was the most exciting team to watch in the playoffs this year? I know that Pete Blackburn said he's going to miss the Oilers being knocked out of the playoffs because you never knew what was going to happen from shift to shift.
Yeah, and that's exactly right, is that as great as they were offensively in those Hail Mary sort of plays, they gave up a lot the other direction, so your head was snapping back and forth.
What did he call it? A cocaine circus, I believe he called it.
I didn't read that.
It was funny. A reminder, all season long, the Oilers Now Injury Report is brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. Unrivaled experience, unrivaled commitment, unrivaled results. Trent Brown, a former CFLer, two-time All-Star as a safety, moved over from the corner. That's where he played in college. And Trent Brown, Jim Brown, the gang at James H. Brown, they will take care of you. It is 12:57 in Edmonton. We are going to go to the Ashley Fine Flores text line, and you can text us at any time, 780-496-0063. Okay, Clint says, Bob, in regards to underwater finds, there are guys that specifically do this. They travel all over checking bodies of water for missing people in vehicles. It's called Adventures with Purpose on YouTube. Fascinating stuff. I've never seen that. Clint, thank you. That is that's interesting. Drew says, Bob, what about Puljujärvi for Dylan Strome, Sign Marchment, Mikheyev, and Ryan Strome? Well, they're not going to be able to afford Evander Kane and Ryan Strome. I think Dylan Strome is now going to be, my guess, I think Dylan Strome might end up being a free agent. Might not need to trade anything for him. We'll have to wait and see. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Keep them coming. Man, we're getting a wide... Bob, everything we needed to know about the Sedins in the playoffs was provided to us by Brad Marchand, Jersey Jabs. Bob, they are both Hall of Famers, says this texter, but Not sure either of them would have been on my team. No grit. Oh, come on. They were pretty good players. They were good players. Sometimes you have to take a little bit of crap, play through a little bit of crap to be a good player. I didn't see them get dissuaded as their careers went on. But that's, and you can make an argument Vancouver would have won more. It's just there was LA and Chicago around during those years, and those teams combined to win 5 Stanley Cups. We will head off to a Global News weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. Colin Chalk is the head coach of the Bakersfield Condors. He was interim. He's now the full head coach. We'll hear from him when we return on Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon. On Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.